Welcome to the IPL Betting Hub on Cricket Only, Better episode 239. I'm Ed Hawkins for Betfair, and this is a special IPL show. It's the half-time team talk show, as we tell you exactly how to play each team and how to play the tournament in its second half. Paul Krishnamurthy of betting.betfair, do you have the half-time oranges?
In abundance. Huge bag of them.
Richard Mann of sportinglife.com, have you got the deep heat cream or any other sort of liniment?
I've got a few niggles, Ed, at the moment, but I'm sure we'll get through just about.
Excellent. We've got strategies for you for each team, as I said. We're going to be looking at how to play death overruns. We're also going to be looking at whether these teams have changed personality in this tournament, whether we've had teams completely revert to the mean or vice versa. We've got bowling and batting rankings so far. But we're going to start with an outright on Betfair Exchange. And absolutely conscious that teams are playing as we record and go into production. So this is all likely to change either dramatically or just by the odd click. So Rajasthan 4.1 on Betfair Exchange. Sunrisers 4.9. KKR 5.2, CSK 6.8, Mumbai Indians 8.6, LSG 15. Now we're getting into the teams who, well, they're basically really struggling to get into that top four. Gujarat 38, could be twice that by the time you listen to this. Delhi Capitals 90, Punjab 210, RCB 260, that they're not winning it. Any of those sides. Look, we'll get a team-by-team rundown for you coming up, including best ways to play. But run records are being smashed all over the place. We have eight teams scoring at more than nine and over, and only three conceding fewer than nine and over at the halfway point. Is this the future, Richard Mann, of franchise leagues with more importance put on boundary striking, or is it just a one-off and we're going to see a return to more sedate methods?
Well, we thought it was a one-off last year, potentially, didn't we? With big runs in this competition, bigger than ever before. And the two bouncer rule came in this year. And there was a lot of talk, particularly on social media, that we were going to, scores were going to come back down, average 170, 180. But that just hasn't been the case. And if anything, it's gone the other way. The upward trend continues in terms of runs. Five of the six highest ever IPL team scores have been made in the last month. I've got to credit Nick Savage on Twitter for that one. But that just tells you the way it's going. I think the new two-bouncer rule, by the way, is fantastic. It brings back-of-a-length seamers who maybe don't have genuine pace or unless you're a wrist spinner, it brings those guys into the game. But look, and they're taking more wickets, but still we're seeing huge scores, and I don't know what the answer is, but I think until something drastically changes, it'll continue that way.
Paul, I mean, in franchise T20, well, T20 internationals as well, we always love a bowling team, don't we? And we think it's the bowlers which are going to win you the tournament. I'm just wondering whether we're on the brink of a sort of a revolution in that regard. And if not, does that mean that Chennai, who are the tightest bowling unit in this team on economy at the moment, just ahead of Lucknow and Rajasthan, there's a gap between them and the rest. Are they the one true value on that outright at the moment at 6.8 with Betfair?
Well, we'll get to Chennai in a minute. I think it's important to remember we're only halfway through, right? So you would expect, I would have thought, the importance of the bowlers to come more into it in the second half, particularly the spinners, you know. And we know that two of the last two games are at Chennai, so that is where that matters. Regarding value, though, I would say that the golden rule at this point is points on the board and to know what the targets are. So we know from past IPLs, 18 points will probably get you a top two finish. 16 points will get you a qualifying. You can't really qualify if you don't get 16. And if you're going on that basis, then Chennai have got an awful lot of work to do to get that top two. So whilst I do think they will qualify, I think they're certainly perfectly suited to the second half of the season and spin coming into it more. They're going to have, even if they don't finish top two, that 6.8 is only going to be the right odds in the last four. And if we're talking value from that point of view, Rajasthan have to be it because they've already got 12 points. You know, they only need three more wins from four games to get 18. They're in the top three. And they also have three spinners now. So I would say they're the value. But also regarding whether this is changing or not, I still think if you're talking about high scoring games, the more important thing is to have bowlers who can contain. That is the difference between teams at this level.
Good stuff. Seven wins has been enough in the past for top four with, you know, a decent run rate. If you've got a minus in front of your name on run rate, you're probably needing eight. So that's why those teams like Delhi, Bangalore, Punjab are so big, and Gujarat may be about to join. And Richard, end of the show, we'll come back to both you and Paul for winners and runners up, by the way. Any strategies that have worked, haven't worked, will work?
Yeah, the one that has worked, and I have mentioned it before, so apologies if I sound like I'm repeating myself, but at the time of recording, just the last five games in IPL, so 10 innings, seven of the top bowler markets have gone to seamers, and generally seamers who are bowling in that middle phase when the field is out and they can use those two bounces, or obviously at the back end. And the key point, and Paul's banged the drum in relation to Bumrah with this, is Betfair Sportsbook settling ties on runs conceded. So of those seven winners in the last five games, 1-4 have been settled on runs conceded. It makes a massive difference. Back end, middle phase, bowlers who can keep it tight. They don't necessarily need to be taking three or four wickets. Bumrah is obviously a classic example of this, but Mukesh Kumar's been doing it. Avish Khan won it with 2-35. So I think you want seamers with good bounces and the better economy consistently as well. So you need to go and have a look back at the whole season and who generally is the most economical bowler in the team. And if they're a seamer bowler in the middle phase, they've got a very good chance in the top bowler market.
Paul, are we expecting runs to slow up now as services get more worn? I mean, it's been an incredible batting start, of course, but we did see something similar in SA T20, not the massive scores that we've seen in IPL, but it was a very fast start with runs in SA T20. Then it dropped off, didn't it? Are you factoring in that possibility for your innings run strategies?
Yeah, I will be, for sure. I mean, I think this is about conditions in India in May. Although it depends on the ground, because it depends how many strips they've got. To take Ahmedabad last year, where they've got nine strips, I think, we saw 200-plus in the playoffs, right? So it didn't matter there. It never seems to matter at the Wankhede. It never seems to matter much at Bengaluru. But the grounds where you really want to be looking at unders would be Chennai, which always slows up. Lucknow, which is already slowing up, I think you saw the other day. I know that there was dew and it ended up not being enough, but Chennai's 178 looked quite miraculous in running. They looked like getting about 150 at one point, 145. It looked very slow. No one was even trying to hit sixes. Hyderabad's another ground, although that's kind of under review because it's a new surface. So we'll see where that goes. But historically, that has slowed up a lot. I don't think it'll happen for another week or so though. I think we're looking about second week in May, these scores will start to really come down.
Alrighty. Now let's get some teams on. We'll start going through team by team. How best to play these teams, what we expect them to do in the second half, and also how they've matched up in terms of what they did last season in terms of bowling and batting. And RCB is the first one. As I said, massive price to win it. And not big enough, probably, because they need to win all remaining games to win it. So I think that's 10 in a row. As we record, they're playing as we speak. Batting rank this year, last year, 5th and 5th. So they're absolutely performing as expected. With the ball, they're ranked 10th on economy from 6th last year. But that is not a surprise because they're absolutely dreadful. I mean, this tremendous RCB, so reliable, Paul, in terms of what they can't do. Are the markets wise enough to it, Paul? I mean, they're playing KKR as we speak. I just thought KKR were a bit of a big price at 1.77 before the toss. But the Kohli factor still an issue on the markets?
Yeah, I think it is. Even the outright price, They were like 120 to 1 this morning. As you say, they've got to win every single game. So, like, you know, do the accumulator. It's much bigger, right? And KKR were a decent price. I think that even on the runs, you know, we've seen, especially at Bengaluru, which we know is a run-fest place, you're still generally seeing par going off at below 200, even when they're bowling. And, you know, the Sunrisers game the other day, the 267, even as it was happening, I backed the last 10 overs. I think I backed 10.5 and over for Sunrisers, and they were already going crazy. You know, that's just the wrong price. They're overrated. And the thing about RCB is, as you say, they are predictably bad in certain areas. They don't have any bowling, right? They haven't got a world-class spinner. So I think this just carries on throughout the tournament. Just stick with the strategy. It always seems to pay.
Rich, Siraj out of the team. I've seen people putting him in the Indian T20 squad on Twitter. He of the 8% win rate in the last 3 years on top bowler, an abysmal record. Ferguson and Topley paired together. That's quite nice, actually. Conscious game going on. Do you change tack on RCB for the rest of the tournament, or do you just keep hitting him? They don't have a spinner, do they?
No, the spin's a massive issue, actually. And if you think about the money they've spent at the auction, which we've talked about before, big money, and it's left them short in other areas, i.e. a world-class spinner. But the biggest money buys have been Glenn Maxwell and Cameron Green, and neither are now in the team because of poor form. So that tells you there's big holes everywhere else. I just think whenever the market favours them, and at some point, surely it catches up, but while ever it doesn't, you just keep taking them on, particularly with the ball. If they've got 230 at home or on a really good ground and suddenly were short price favourites to defend it, you would have to oppose them. Just stick with the strategy. Just keep taking them on.
Keep taking them on. Paul, anything else to add on strategy for RCB?
No, exactly that. Just okay. Keep closing them, keep backing the runs against
all right.
Them.
Well, let's look at Punjab then. They're out of the reckoning for winning the thing. Specialists in winning games they have no right to, and losing games from strong positions. That's Punjab's personality. Mm-hmm. With the bat, they're ranked ninth, but that is a massive regression from third last season. With the ball, they've improved slightly, sixth at the moment on economy from ninth. Come from behind team, Richard. Perhaps the main point is Jitesh Shashank, Ashutosh combo at the end, the lower middle order, It seems to be a great pointer for next season if they can sort out their recruitment at the top of the order, which has been horrific. Johnny Bairstow's stock is rapidly collapsing. But I think we might say that about Punjab. Oh, Punjab next season. What do you think?
Well, I'm loath to say it because I generally like to take them on every year, but you're right, some real shoots of promise with the young Indian guys. I think what they've done so badly wrong is they've invested heavily in this big English overseas contingent. And Sam Curran's done okay with the ball. What is it, 10 wickets? But Bairstow and Livingston, I mean, dear me, it's just been a car crash. But Bairstow's gone now, and I suspect at some point they'll probably have to get rid of Livingston as well. And blood this fantastic young Indian players that are coming through. And I think that if they start doing that now, and we'll have to look at the team news game by game, they're the sort of team that can definitely spring a surprise and take a big team with them. They might actually impact who gets into the playoff without it being them themselves. Very dangerous, but I would like to see them really give opportunities now to the next generation, because this obsession with the English, it just hasn't worked for them.
Paul, I was going to say a good team to trade at big prices in play, but actually it may be better if they go odds on or have got a two in front of their name. You just climb in on the lay button, do you?
I'm against these. Yeah, I wouldn't be too. I know they have got a history of pulling off upsets, and they have got decent personnel, if it's very disjointed and they're not clear about their order or anything. But they're almost out. They could well be out by the end of next week. And if we're talking about spinners coming into it, I don't really rate any of their spinners very highly. You know, perhaps Nathan Ellis, I think, in the squad, he might get a game somewhere. One thing's worth, their ground, Mullumpur, that is not a high scoring ground. That is big boundaries. And the last game, I think, was 190 odd. So we still got on. But I think that if you're looking for a ground there that could be under 160, that could be the one.
Yeah, agree with that. Happy to move on to Delhi or anything else to say about Punjab?
Just one thing. I wonder if they're out, are we going to start seeing some experimental batting lineups and some value in the top batsmen? Because, you know, if you've got Shashank Singh and Ashutosh Sharma have been their two best batsmen. They're coming in at 6 and 8. That's madness. That's absolute madness. They've Sam Curran opening in the last game. So clearly they don't know what they're doing. I mean, personally, I would have Livingston opening. But I think that it could pay during the rest of the tournament to be looking at those middle-order batsmen, and whichever one of them is like 16, 20 at 1+, get on them.
Can I just quickly say, avoid the top bowler market. Sam Curran, 10 wickets. Rabada, 10 wickets. Harshal Patel, 10 wickets. And Ashdeep Singh, 9 wickets. And the economy, there's nothing really to split all four. That's definitely a market to avoid.
Great shout. I learned that lesson quite early on with Punjab and just kept backing Rabada, but couldn't get a handle on that that bowling lineup. Delhi Capitals have been incredibly pricey with the ball at the death. We're going to talk about that in a bit. On batting rank, however, they're improving slightly. Surprisingly, fourth on batting run rate. They were 10th last season, seventh with the ball, and from fourth last season. Henrik Nokia maybe finding form a bit. I suppose the big thing here with Delhi, Rich, is whether the Finnish bottom bet is still alive. A little bit unfortunate, really, with that, because Bangalore have just been so appalling and we don't see him improving.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't say it's dead, but it's not looking good, is it? I think Bangalore being poor, but I think Jake Fraser-McGurk, and in a way they've been lucky, haven't they, that Mitchell Marsh picked up that injury, because McGurk's come in and he's transformed them, really. He's making runs and very quickly, but he kind of breathed new life into the batting lineup as well, give them some real impetus. And with Stubbs in there, suddenly they look actually quite strong, don't they, in that middle order. So I'd be a bit more positive about them. Bowling's absolutely shocking. But Kuldeep Yadav coming back to fitness, he will take wickets. He's going to go for runs, but he will take wickets. But it's still a poor attack. But the batting, there's definite reasons to be promised. They won't make the playoffs, but I don't think they'll finish bottom either.
Paul, on warm pitches, Kuldeep is, you know, going to get even better, and they desperately need some sort of help with a pitch to reduce that gulf in the field, their bowlers. How are you going to play Delhi going forward?
Well, I agree pretty much everything Rich said. I have been surprised how good they've been. I know they're out. They're not going to win it. They're not going to qualify. But they have improved. And Fraser-McGurk's a great signing. Stubbs a good signing. Kuldeep and Axar will be very useful later on in the tournament. As for going forward, I mean, like, I think they're going to be out soon. But Delhi's an interesting ground. So we've just seen a 266 there. It's a small ground. That has always been a place for extremes. You've got to keep an eye on what's going on there. But if that pitch slows up, right, then, and especially as the market is now going to be in favour of huge runs, like it was 200 was par yesterday in that game, that could be an unders place. Because if that is slow, Delhi is a very hard place to score runs. And if you look on the averages, despite it being a small ground, they're not that high there at all.
Yeah. Ricky Ponting may start asking for a bit of help from the ground staff there. Anything going ahead on Delhi before moving to Gujarat?
Well, I quite like them for BTTS now going forward, both teams to score 200, because the bowling's so bad and the batting's got stronger. Home to the Titans, home to Mumbai Indians, who haven't got an attack bar bumrah. And then away to KKR, that one in particular really interested me, because Delhi can't bowl and KKR smash it all over. But Paul has put me off a little bit about Delhi. I'm hoping we've maybe got a week or two's grace before the change really comes into effect in terms of runs, but we shall see.
Yeah, the other thing we've got to remember is they've only played one match there.
Yeah.
Right, they played Vizog. So it's a wait and see, I think.
A wait and see with Delhi. Just a pointer on Warner, I think he's due on top bat. Just keep that one in mind. Still winning at 40%. So look for those Betfair Sportsbook boosts on Warner. We've got every game covered on betting.betfair, tips, analysis for all your IPL matches. So do check that one out. Let's look at Gujarat 38 on Betfair Exchange to win it. They could be twice the price if they lose as we go into production. The one team which really has quite clearly regressed and as expected in some quarters, their batting run rate is 10th from 4th and bowling ranking is 5th from 1st. They're just going at 7.8, which is a three-run difference between them and Sunrisers at the top of the charts. They're playing a completely different game, Richard. They desperately need a slowdown in the wickets, don't they?
Yeah, it would probably help, wouldn't it? Because they play the game that, well, not we, but teams were playing 10 years ago, don't they? And it's actually worked for them so far, but not this season. But even this season, we've seen such a massive change in this format. Who knows where we'll be in 5 years' time, but they're getting well left behind. Slow pitches might help, but I have to say, you look at their two kingpin spinners, Rashid Khan, strike rate of only 22. I know teams look to sit on him, but for a world-class spinner who is very relied on, that's not great. Noor Ahmed, strike rate of 35. Even if the pitch is slow up, they need more from those two.
Paul, best ways to play Gujarat? I think we talked about them on our last show that they were done. So what do we do now going ahead?
Well, you called it much earlier than we did. You called it start. And I don't actually think they're out of the race for bottom. If RCB could win a couple of matches somewhere, Gujarat could finish bottom. They do look terrible. It's got to be unders on runs with them. They're totally reliant on Shubman Gill and David Miller, for me. I mean, their last match, I actually backed Delhi to beat them, which wasn't a good result, obviously. But I was absolutely kicking myself because that was the unders game, wasn't it? That was the one you could have got, well, it was at least 100 to 1. You definitely got laid 101 and under 100. You could probably got under 140 at 10 to 1, 16 to 1. Yeah, they're a poor side. They're a poor side. Even the game they won was quite miraculous as well. Quite, you know, Rashid Khan pulled it out from at the death. I think that's solid throughout the thing. Although one caveat with that is Ahmedabad, where, as I said, they've got a lot of strips there and the pitch held up last year. We haven't seen a 200 there yet. So somewhere along the line, there's going to be a big scoring game at that ground. I can't believe that it's suddenly become a low scoring ground.
Anything to add, Richard, on Gujarat?
Yeah, Shubman Gill, you remember, he was a welcome winner, wasn't he, for this podcast last year. We put him up in running for top tournament run scorer. Finished like a train, he made 200s in the last few weeks. He's going okay in what is a poor field. I mean, that's the key point. It's a poor field. 36, 89, 19, 72 and 8 in his last five knocks. He's going off 4-1 top Titans batsman. I don't think he's got a lot to beat. And if he finishes anywhere like anything like he did last year, he's probably going to win that market more than he loses it.
Great shout. We continue. We're going to look at the death bowling operators with bat and ball, best and worst, try and do some matchups for your betting pleasure. But we want to look at Lucknow Super Giants at 15. If Gujarat are the team who have quite clearly regressed, Lucknow are absolutely consistent. Their batting rank is 7th from 8th. Their bowling rank is 2 from 2. Bang on what we'd have expected from this lot. And they're the first of the teams we're looking at who are doing it differently by focusing on bowling. Been saying it for, well, since the preview show, Paul, that it's not a wrong price. They went off at about 12.6, I think, on the outright on Betfair Exchange, but now at 15. They're absolutely banging the race. What's going on?
I agree. I wouldn't say they're outstanding value because I think the ones at the top are better, but that is definitely the wrong price, and I think they owe that simply because there's some bigger names ahead of them that we'll get to that are probably the wrong price. They really need Mayank Yadav back. He came in for 3 games. He was outstanding, and suddenly he's got injured, so we need him back. But again, they've got spinners. They've got Bishnoi. They've got Prunal Pandya. Mishra can come in, so they should be okay in that. Their own ground is probably the slowest pitch in the tournament, so they're well suited. That Stornis is another player who bowls well in slow conditions, So I think they're well equipped for all of that. The only question mark for me is the thing that Rich pointed out in the original preview, which was their inability to bat against spin. And is that going to be their undoing at the death? But I certainly think they can qualify. I mean, they need to win 4 out of 7 games to qualify. I think that's well within range. It's perfectly plausible.
Rich, anything on Lucknow?
Yeah, just they look really dangerous. They're the sort of one potential bolters out there. They've got loads of boxes ticked and players coming into form at the right time. You look at that 5 batting lineup. What is it? De Kock, Rowell, Horan, Stoinis, Bodoni, who looks a terrific prospect to me. That's seriously, seriously strong. I think they're really dangerous. But when they played Delhi, what was it, a week or so ago, Kuldeep went through them, didn't they? And they needed a real late show just to get anything like a top competitive score. Spin's an issue. While I'm going, I'll just talk about betting point and now, because we're on him anyway. Marcus Stoinis, he's been batting number 4. He's been making runs. Now he's started bowling. Paul's called it. He bowls really well on slower pitches. He's going off at 14-1. He won this market 3 times from 15 last year. And you can tell I'm a man who's been following him all season, can't you? And getting particularly frustrated at 50 and out. But he will definitely be a man of the match before the end of the season. And I think if you take 14s, he will pay his way.
Talking of things in the teens, I'd like to start seeing some teens on Krunal Pandya for top Lucknow bat, particularly on that stodgy Lucknow service. But we need more evidence that service is tiring up, don't we, Paul? I mean, is this a ground for playing unders now?
Yeah. It is. First point is that the stats do totally back it up. 10 matches last 2 years in this new environment, big scores, no 200 scored here. Only 4 out of 10 games were first innings were 170 plus. 30% were 140, were under 140, which would be a huge return if you were backing under 140. Half of the matches, 5 out of 10, had 10 or fewer sixes. That would pay big profits if you backed out every game. And I think you saw it in the last game. It definitely is slowing up there. So that could be a very reliable thing. And to add to that, and a bit further context, is this inability to play spin. So if they're batting first and the spinners come on in the 5th, 6th over, that's the time to go unders, extreme unders.
Richard, anything to add before we have a little bit of a strategy break ourselves?
No, just a Stoinis love in the man of the match market.
Okay, Stoinis for man of the match. Get your pen and paper out and make a note of Marcus Stoinis for that one. We're going to have a see it strategic timeout ourselves. Maybe we should get them to give us some money for sponsoring this section. In-play strategy has been backing late runs in IPL. It's been paying off nicely. So we filtered the best and worst for runs and economy to get those best matchups as we move into the second half. But Paul, I think you were talked up late over Carnage in one of the preview shows, almost certainly. Been good for you?
Yes, at certain grounds, though. It certainly always pays well at Bangalore, Wankhede, at Delhi, at Kolkata, because they're small grounds. Wouldn't want to do it at Mullumpur. Wouldn't want to do it at Lucknow. It actually came off in the last match, Lucknow, but I wouldn't want to do it there. I wouldn't want to do it at Hyderabad or Chennai. So I'd just stick with those main grounds. Wankhede particularly, an absolute goldmine late runs there. Really, I mean, what was the game we saw, the Mumbai-Delhi ones? They went at 19-2 off the last 5 overs and passed like 11 or 12 and over. It's just completely wrong.
Mumbai and Delhi, you won't be surprised to find out, are in the worst 3 at the death with the ball, with economy rates. Mumbai 11.7 and Delhi exactly the same. Bangalore, you won't be surprised either, given their bowling and given the ground they're playing on, 11.1. Sunrise is actually not far behind RCB, and then a drop off to the 5th place team, which is, I forget actually, but almost more than a run. And then top 3 fast scorers at the death is Sunrisers, that's no surprise, striking at 192, Rajasthan at 187, and KKR at 182. Maybe Rajasthan might be a bit of a surprise in the middle of that pack. So just jot these fixtures down. SRH v RCB on Thursday. SRH still have to play Mumbai, so that's one for you with strongest versus weakest. Strongest versus weakest, Rajasthan v MI on Monday, which is as we go into production. And then Delhi Capitals on May 7th. KKR versus Delhi, April 29th. And they've still got that doubleheader against Mumbai Indians. So that's some potentials for you on your exchange strategy with Betfair. Talking of Mumbai, probably the biggest movers up and down the market of the tournament, now into 8.6. Batting, they've been consistent. They're third on power ranking from first last season and eighth this season with the ball from 10th last season. They've had a bit of a resurgence of results, Rich, but you'd expect to beat some of the teams they have beaten. Are they racked by infighting, as some have suggested? The Rohit Hardik love-in doesn't seem to be going very well.
Well, I'm not buying any of it, this resurgence, to be honest. I think they're a poor price at 8.6. I don't think they'll finish in the top two. I'm not suggesting anybody lays 8.6, but I'll be taking them on match by match, particularly if you come up against a side with good opening bowlers, because Rohit's been exceptional with the bat. Sky is just possibly the best T20 player in the world, and him coming back has been a massive boost. But you get past Tilak Varma and they're not playing Wood Hero. I know you're not happy about that. But the middle order looks poor. Pandya can't buy a run. Tim David, I'm not convinced by at all. He's definitely not filling Pollard's boots yet. Shepherd, Nabi, not for me. I think they're really weak. And you saw that when they played CSK at the Wankhede. They needed 10 and over chasing at the Wankhede. I mean, as Paul's just ably demonstrated, that is a cakewalk. But as soon as Tilak got out, Rohit got starved of the strike. The rest of them, they really couldn't crack an egg. I think they're really, really overrated with the bat. If you can get past that top four, and it is an if. And then with the ball, we've said it already, but take Bumrah out of the piece. If you can just see him off, maybe taking for 20, 25. The rest of them, they're there for the taking. I think this is desperately overrated team.
Hugely frustrating for Mumbai backers, because as we said, you can do your work, your stats work, but if they don't pick the best players, you're not going to get the value you thought you were. Vlad here, as you said, Rich, not on the pitch. And Tashara as well could do a lot for this bowling. Those are two elite players. They're on the bench. They're not even on the bench, these players. Paul, big name players in this Mumbai team, but is the strategy looking at this group with rationality a strategy in itself?
I've got very strong views about this lot. I mean, I agree with Red completely. They're terrible value. Just to say, I mean, you said don't lay 8.6. I mean, look, if you want to lay 8.6, lay it. But obviously, if there's a risky mark, they were last batch at 1.89 to finish in the top four. That is totally the wrong price, right? They need to win 5 out of 7 games to qualify. Assume there's 10 teams in it now, so I'm going to say 16 points is what you need to qualify with that. Because it wasn't 2 years without 10 teams. 1.89 and then winning 5 out of 7 games, when really they've only beaten teams you would expect them to be, is that. And we mentioned that Lucknow value earlier, that's why. That's why, because the team that they're in the battle for fourth place, third or fourth place, is so horrifically overrated. So I would 100% lay that. Just to add the other way, though, is Rich mentioned it earlier, but this is the most obvious strategy. Player strategy for me of the whole tournament is just backing Bumrah, top bowler. His economy is 5.96. The next of anyone playing regularly is 9.0, right? And the last game that they won, I can't remember who it's getting, he was 3-1 top bowler. That's an absolutely crazy price. Crazy, crazy price. And he won it with a tie, of course. So lay them. Just lay them and back Bumrah.
Yeah, all he needs to do is match the next best bowler. Chennai are next for us at 6.8. We discussed them a bit earlier in the show. Remember, playoff and a final at their home ground, which should suit teams with spinning ability. Chennai, of course, one of them. Their batting has, dropped off potentially. They're eighth on ranking from second last season, but they're still scoring at 9.1. with the ball, they're just so reliable, apart from that Lucknow last time, which was strangely impotent performance of the ball. So ranked first from third. If they got 9.1 batting first, Rich, they're defending it all day long, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, the two key factors in the favour when in that scenario is that as we get further into the tournament, we expect his pitches to deteriorate, as we just said. And then if they can get themselves into the latter stages and they're playing at home at Chennai, that becomes even more of a factor. And the other thing is that you can't quantify with data or numbers. It's just IPL pedigree and experience of getting it done at the end of the tournament when you need to win big games. And that's what they've got over pretty much everyone else, bar Mumbai, who we don't think are going to make the finals anyway. You know, Dhoni, Jadeja, these guys have just got it done year after year. Even Gaikwad, Bathirana, they've got that experience now, and it's a massive factor. How you quantify it in terms of betting up is harder, but you have to respect it. And I'm expecting a late surge from them. Paul's right, they've got work to do, but I definitely wouldn't be ruling them out at all.
Other ways to play CSK, Paul?
I think, as you said, if they can post 170, 180, especially at home, first up, then back them at halfway. I mean, I'm actually, despite them being my sort of long-range tip, I'm not on them particularly. My book is not particularly pro-Chennai at all yet, simply because I don't think that 6.8 is huge value when they've got work to do. But I haven't really lost faith in them at all. I mean, they've been a bit unlucky with tosses, I think. And they've, like, if you take the other day, that Look Now game, I thought they did very well in the first innings to get 178, but it was just impossible to defend in those conditions. You have to think that the way the conditions are now going to go will favour them. They've got Jadeja, Thikshana, Ravindra, Moeen Ali. This is what they do. They squeeze teams on drying, on warm, slow pitches. Four out of their last seven games are at home. So I think they will come through. My only question is, of course, there again, that I think they're going to struggle to finish top two, given how well the top three are doing in this at the moment. And therefore, they're still going to have to win three matches on the spin at the death.
The big sort of negatives from coming into the tournament, Pathirana's form, he'd been dire for his country. Mm. He's been exceptional. And Dhoni, where they're just basically carrying a keeper, and he's reinvented himself again, and he's just blasting out of the park when he comes in. Mm. And when you look at it like that, it's hard to believe that actually they're not near the top of the table. They've lost matches they should have won, really. I mean, the Delhi one, for instance, has left them with work to do. But I think if you just look at them 11-11, they're right up there.
Yeah.
Do Chennai make that final? Are they the runners-up this IPL? We'll tell you who those two teams are, respectively, at the end of this show. So stick around. Will one of them be KKR, who are in action as we speak, struggling a little bit against RCB? We'll see how they go. Second with the bat. On the rankings, and fourth with your bowling economy. Very good. I'm kicking myself a bit about KKR because I got sucked into those elite and above the mean numbers. I thought they had a good 11 and I didn't back them. Are you feeling a little bit sore, Paul, that you missed out on KKR?
No, not really, because I didn't expect them. I didn't think they were 14-1, 16-1 chances, but I didn't really have them down as contenders. The thing about KKR is, if you look back through the years, they've always been a very streaky outfit. You know, they struggle sometimes, but when they won it, went on a mad winning run. They went on a great run in the Gulf the other year as well. And if the game is changing in the way that we think it is, they do have the perfect lineup. You know, they, especially with the ability to pick an impact batsman, they're going to pick nine hitters. Right, I mean, this is a side, they haven't even, not even using Nitish Rana yet, they're not using Romelu Gurbaz. So they are full of runs. Narayan's bowling brilliantly, so they have got a key spinner. I remember that year when it was in the Gulf, the COVID year, Narayan was absolutely outstanding at the end when the pitches slowed up. So I do think they are, I've come around to them now, they are massive contenders.
Rich, we know about that death overs run strategy as discussed earlier. They're in that top three for scoring runs at the death. However, they're very pricey with the ball in the power play. They're 10th worst. Possible angle there or something else, or do their hitters lose their way once they're able, unable to swing through the line with abandon?
They're just a team for just massive extremes, aren't they? If you can get your bets on total match runs, if you can get both teams 220, and if I know that the value is beginning to eke out of those markets now, but I mean, they just do absolutely. We can't get big enough for this team. They just score massive, and they're quite leaky with the ball, as you've just said. They've just always been a team for extremes, and I wouldn't. I know you've been calling them for a while, Ed. I know you were very pro KKR, but we've had some fun with both teams to score with them, haven't we? So they've definitely paid the way. We called them right with the runs at the end strategy, but they've scored quickly in the power play. Sol, I mean, they've been really lucky there. They didn't have him. They had Jason Roy, and he pulled out for personal reasons. They've got Sol, and he's been a great signing. The Ryan, I can't believe that was in the plan 6 months ago to open. Revelation. Everything has fallen into place for them. And with that in mind, you do kind of wonder if their name might just be on that trophy.
Yeah, Noreen, a real surprise. Not the fact that he's open, but the fact he's actually won top bats, because I think it's the first time he's done it for a long time, 4 or 5 years, maybe. I want to get to the big question of the show, which is Sunrisers 4.9 Betfair Exchange to win it. They are, of course, a completely different side than last season, because their batting power ranking is one from ninth. With the ball, they're reliably wayward, nine from seventh. And this is the big one. I mean, have we just seen this Sunrisers style in every franchise league ever? The one trick ponies and do only one thing, and that is be big and brawny with the bat, but can't get over the line because they've got no brains with the ball, Richard Mann. And we're just talking about slightly bigger numbers on your economy rates and run rates. And we need to be absolutely brave and say Sunrisers can't win it because they can't bowl.
This has been my feeling, and you just wonder if this approach is sustainable, but then you think on the other foot, are they just playing the game that in a couple of years' time everyone will have to play if you want to be competitive in franchise T20 cricket? It's just been a breathtaking watch, hasn't it? My concern with them is they've relied heavily on Travis Head to get them off to these quick starts. Not just Travis Head, but I mean, he really in the last week or so has been the main man. And we know that he's not a fantastic player of quality spin. And if the pitches start to go and he starts to struggle, it will get harder for them to play that way. And in their own attack, they don't have world-class spin. That's the negative. But if you line up and you give me 5 to 6 the pair, I'd be frightened stiff of taking them on in a knockout match, because that batting can blow you out of the water. Breath of fresh air. I've been really impressed with them, and I definitely can't rule them out. I'm sitting on the fence there. I do apologise, but they're so hard to assess in terms of winning the thing. But they can beat anybody, clearly.
Paul, what about you? Is this one of those sides?
Yeah, look, I got them completely wrong, because Ireland Air's contenders for bomb. I didn't see this happening, and it's revolutionary what they're doing. But I still think we've got to stick with the golden rules. And if you're talking about big runs, you need bowlers who can defend, and they haven't got them. You know, only Cummins and Natarajan are going to 8 and 8.5 are really doing it. Now pitches are going to wear, it's going to come more into it. Where's their world-class spinner? They haven't got one. I think they'll come up short somewhere. I think this could be the time to get against them right now, because their stock couldn't be higher.
Yeah, maybe start when they get on a slower surface, start going unders on, you know, high power lines. It's not a particularly risky strategy when the market is reacting to these runs. Let's look at Rajasthan Royals, the 4.1 favourites on Betfair Exchange. Batting has improved significantly, third from seventh on your ranking, sixth from fifth with the ball. How best do we play Rajasthan, Paul? Very good at the death, for example, with the ball. Like to see Sandeep Sharma coming back into this team, though.
I think they've been brilliant, and I think they've got really big runs in them. Said at the start in the preview that there would be somewhere they would hit something huge. It hasn't happened batting first. It came batting second last time at Eden Gardens, chasing that. You know, look how well they've done, right? And this is without J-Well doing very much at all. I'm about Dhruv Jurel hardly getting a look in. I don't see any reason at all why they won't carry this on. They've got three spinners now. They're already strong with Ashwin and Chahal. Keshav Maharaj, good addition, more economical than both of them throughout his career. So I don't see any reason why they would stop what they're doing. And I think, once again, they've got big runs in them. Jaipur, also their home ground, although it's not one for huge ground, huge runs, it's more of a sort of 190, 200 roll, but that isn't a place that I think will slow up. I think that will remain a high-scoring ground.
Rich, don't give the game away yet, but Rajasthan, hard to stop on any other angles?
Massively impressed with them so far, but I have to say I'm still not fully convinced. I mean, Butler hauled them over the line earlier in the week, didn't he? And they were dead and buried in that match. I don't think they're as bomb-proof as the table would suggest, but the table would suggest that they're going to finish top two and have a really good crack at it. So I do take Paul's points on board. But we were in this situation last year, or pretty much, where they looked virtually unbeatable. And then they went on a horrid show. I've just got a sneaky feeling that there might be a soft underbelly in that side. May well be proven wrong, but the prices we're talking, I'm probably happy to set them on. Once bitten, twice as shy, as George Michael said one Christmas. So I'm going to swerve them.
Right, there you go. That is your halftime team talk done and strategies covered for the second half of the IPL. It's just a small matter of who wins it and who finishes runners up. We're going to ask Richard and Paul to name those teams now. Richard, who beats who in the final?
I'm going to stick with Chennai to win it. I think we'll beat KKR in the final with conditions in Chennai's favour.
Paul Krishnamurti.
I'm going to go for Rajasthan to beat Chennai in the final. And I would just add that, given that they seem almost certain to be in the top two, 4.1 is a really good trade right now, because that will be closer to 2.5.
There you go. Chennai in the final, then. I think that's the takeaway, isn't it? Currently 6.8 on Betfair Exchange. So there you go. That price is coming in if Paul and Richard are correct. This has been the IPL Betting Hub, the cricket-only better on Betfair. Don't forget to check betting.betfair for every single IPL game covered, analysed and tipped. We will see you next time on The Cop.